the hustle and the bustle of the foyer at South by Southwest. There's a man holding a sign up saying free hugs. He's had 412 today, last time I spoke to him, and he's still miserable. I'm sitting with someone, thankfully, smiling. Adriana, Adriana Lucas, what do you do?
I disrupt, but apart from that, I try to find the kind of things on the web that help individuals. Now, it used to be social media, actually, before that, blogging. Now, it's different things. I've done my social media is dead kind of speech, and I think that precipitated this conversation. And social media, obviously, is not dead. It's dead as an agent of change and changing the very things that I was hoping would change as a result. Marketing, media, advertising, it's done something. It's done enough to get people from those industries to try to co-opt it, and they pretty much succeeded. That's not the most interesting thing about this. What it allowed me to focus elsewhere and see what other ways we can increase individual autonomy. And to me, as an internet geek, internet was about ability to do things that you couldn't do before. The web has helped us, the social media thing helped us with publishing and distribution. That was great. And that really revolutionized lots of things. But there are other things. There's more we can do. One of the things that is what Web 2.0 showed is that data is a lifeblood of the web. That's everything was revolving around the data. Not necessarily for the users, but certainly for the industry, for the startups, for all the platforms, data, data, data. Now, the idea to me is that why can't we have that data? Why can't we use it for our own benefit? We have it, we generate it, we leave a trail of that, and that trail gets dissected, sliced and diced and collected and used and abused by others, but not for us, but by us. Now, how does that happen? Data is a very boring thing. So perhaps there is a way to help individual users to read the data better. So, you know, in a way, I talk about new kind of literacy, where the same way a peasant would learn, how it would be told, look, if you learn to read and write, you will be able to do lots of things. Whereas the position would be, well, no, it's too technical for me. I could go and have somebody read a letter for me or write the few things. But once the peasant learned how to read, he could do all sorts of things. And that's where we have, you know, Renaissance, revolutions, all sorts. So that's kind of the parallel, that if we learn how to use and read our data, lots of things will be possible. And what kind of things? So let's say I have my medical records. Great. That's not going to help me much, but that would be nice. But what if I monitor my exercise, my diet? What if I take note of restaurants? What if I share dieting tips with friends, for example? And then I have this data and I spot patterns. There are these pretty horrible programs on British TV about helping people diet and lose weight or get rid of some horrible eating habits, and almost always they take them through a process of looking at themselves, like somebody only eats chocolates and crisps. They take them to a room and say, this is what you eat in a week, and they're horrified. So it's that kind of self-awareness and self-knowledge that you can glean from collecting data about yourself. So that's one area. The other area is metadata. You know, as you're going on the web, you can suddenly start seeing your browsing patterns, your habits. You can start noticing your preferences. Third is shopping, for example, where it's interaction with vendors. And this is, I'm actually here at South by Southwest to talk about VRM at a panel called Shopping as a Revolutionary Act.
Yeah, you had to call it that, otherwise it wouldn't be allowed in.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, what is revolutionary for me in that is that if I own and mine and visualize my data, I can see myself in ways that nobody can, including the people who are tracking me. Amazon cannot really see me. They recommend, they try to track me, but suddenly I become the best source of information about myself, and that does change a balance of power somewhat. But the most important thing is the fact that I can do something on my own as the individual, not as part of some big platform. And data, boring as it may sound, can be very beautiful. There's a very interesting book and presentation by an information designer called Information is Beautiful. And that's sort of where, he was at D-Square, I think, yep, in Brighton. Yep. That was brilliant. And so I'm trying to get people like that to join in and say, oh, okay, suddenly we know where how to use the infographics.
So are you building a kind of A team around this?
Yeah, there is a group that meets, it's a meetup group, and we used to be called Quantified Self, and we still are, in London QS group, and we meet every 8 to 6 weeks. We have 3 meetings, and they're getting more and more exciting. Last time, it was about 2 weeks ago, we did data visualization and various monitoring gadgets, and we have people who are academics, people who are helping, you know, to monitor their health data.
So this is like a social media get together with a purpose.
Oh, totally. But it's a social thing, yeah. And what's starting to happen is collaborations. So somebody has a data set, somebody has a visualization software that they built, and they're going, oh, let's meet up over coffee, and I'll apply this to your data set, and it's already happened.
This is returning to the origins of how a lot of this innovation came about. And what we've done is we've got so involved with the tools to a certain extent that we've actually forgotten how these original meetings melded these minds together. What do you think all of these people in here are doing here? What are they looking for?
I don't know. This year? Who knows? I think it used to be that they were looking for kindred spirits or minds that had the same view of certain things. And in the early days of anything, that's the only validation you're going to get, that you have certain idea and vision and understanding of things. You know it's not mainstream, but you gather together with other geeks or other like-minded people, and you get energy to continue doing something that seems kind of weird or geeky or too narrow or not the done thing. And that's what this group is. And the name that we came up with, which is perfect because it was invented in a pub over drink, so it's got perfect provenance, it's called self-hacking. And the reason why we like it and prefer it to personal informatics or quantified self is that it goes to the heart of the matter. Why do I collect that data? Why do I mine it or analyze it? I'm not a quant. I'm not that interested in the actual process. What I want is ability to understand myself and to hack into my own mind and understand my behavioral patterns and, if necessary, tweak them.
So you've named it. And now you've shared it with me, and now I think I may actually have, I can go home now. I feel like I have found the next big thing. I just need to probably listen back a couple of times to understand it totally. Adriana, thank you very, very much. You've reinstalled my faith in being able to have a conversation in a room where we can hear each other as well.
Cool, we can continue over beer or something.
Definitely.